Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday 2023 or through PayPal, serenitysunday1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Hi, everyone. I'm Cindy, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here. I'm very nervous. This is like a famous meeting in my eyes that I used to be in and go in person many, many years ago. And I remember how disturbing it was to walk up in front of the podium and share. But I'm still here after all these years, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, I came into my very first meeting when I was 12 years old, and I really believe that I was born into this disease. My first memory was of food. I don't even remember life before food being everything in the world to me. You know, when other kids had a lot more important things to think about, all I cared about was food. I've heard stories that my mom used to tell me years ago. I remember these happening because I was so young, but she would tell me stories about how I do everything to get food, and she always tried to control my food. And I just wanted food. I threw tantrums. I would scream. I'd throw fits. No matter what happened, I just needed my food. And I don't even think I cared that much about like controlling it or maintaining weight or losing weight that much. Like, I just needed food more than I needed my next breath, you know, and I ate myself up to well over 400 pounds. And I think of my life in like stages of my weight. You know, I remember when I was 12 years old and I was already 225 pounds. When I was around 14 or 15, I was already over 400 pounds. And my parents and my mom, my grandparents, everyone tried to control my food. They tried to, I would be dropped off at like a children's play area, and I'd be expected to walk home with my grandma. They would invite me over for the weekend, my grandparents, and like the treadmill would be out, you know. My mom always tried to get me into like self-help groups, self-esteem classes. We were always on diets. And for someone like me, nothing worked. You know, I needed the food. And from a very young age, food worked for me like nothing else ever did, you know, and it worked and it worked and it worked until it stopped working. And when I was 12, I was kind of forced into it my parents took me out of, my mom took me out of public school because I was abused so badly because of my weight. And I went to this independent study program, and these women basically told me to go to an OA meeting. Or I had to go back to public school. And at the time, as a 12-year-old, I hated these ladies. And now I think they probably saved my life because I went to that one meeting, you know, was not mentally anywhere near ready, accepting anything this program had to offer, thought everyone was like crazy old ladies. And, you know, the seed was planted, and I came back when I was ready. And when I was ready was when I was 23 years old. I had just started a diet. That diet became my first abstinence. And I knew there was something special here that I've never found anywhere else because I put down the food. I went to my first meeting. Someone told me about this newcomer meeting on Friday nights. I went there. I went to that meeting religiously every week for a year. I lost 130 pounds, like real quickly, just flew off me. Didn't talk to anybody, didn't get a sponsor, sat with my head held down, you know, was too afraid to look anybody in the eye. And bought all the literature obsessively, read everything, worked the 12 steps, not the same version of them that I work today, but some form of the 12 steps. And it worked until it stopped working. And, but you know, I knew there was something special here because I have never in my life, lost weight or even had the ability to put down the food. And I picked it back up again eventually, because it was enough until it wasn't. And I picked up the food back up again, and then I proceeded to relapse for years and years and years. But I never gave up. I knew there was something here. I just knew that if I just persevered, the only thing I did perfectly was I never stopped coming back for over 20, for 23 years now. I've never stopped coming back. I knew that I was gonna someday get this thing. And there was hope. That was hope ignited in me. And I proceeded to gain weight, and I was always in the frame of mind of abstinence. I always had a sponsor. I was always trying to work the steps. I was putting down the food a lot. I put down the food over and over and over again, and I had so much abstinence, just not consecutively, But I really think that saved my life, because if it wasn't for these rooms keeping my butt in this chair and just that perseverance of me trying over and over and over again, I would have just ate myself up to 600 pounds and died. I know this 100% about myself. And this disease took me to the brink of, I broke furniture, I broke chairs. I couldn't fit into cars, into seat belts. My life was so small. I was terrified to go out with anybody because I didn't want to be in the position where I couldn't fit in a seatbelt. I didn't want to drive with anybody. I didn't want to be in the position of going into a restaurant, not being able to fit in the booth. I was so terrified of those awkward situations that my life was so little. And, one time I broke a public toilet seat off of a wall in a bathroom at my work, and talk about pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, and I'm in a puddle laying on the floor. And one time when I was about 19, me and my mom went to the beach, and I was sitting on the sand, and somehow, like, a wave knocked me down. When I got up, a wave knocked me down, and I could not get back up, and I almost drowned. Literally, I was dragged out, and I could see the terror on my mom's face. I could just see the terror on her face. She felt so helpless. And suddenly, because when you're 400 pounds, like, you need time to, like, gather your bearings. You don't just pop up. And before I was able to get myself up again, another wave would knock me down. And two men, dragged me out of there. And then I opened my eyes, and they were gone. And I think back to that day, and I think, like, if I would have died, it would have said drowning on my death certificate, but it would have been the direct result of this disease, the direct result of compulsive overeating. My life was all about the food, and the food was the only thing that solved anything in my life, until I came to these rooms and I found that there was a better way. And I couldn't even imagine life without the food. And today I can't even imagine life without this program. This program has saved my life, and way beyond the physical. My last relapse was a day and a half, and I could not, I couldn't have done a lot of physical damage in that short period of time, but I was a mentally and emotionally dead inside, and I don't know what happened, other than when people say, well, what happened to make you stop, like, and hopefully stay stopped this time. And the only thing I could think of is pure desperation. I just woke up one day, and it was like, I just can't do this anymore. I could not be oblivious anymore. I couldn't just pretend like life was fine in the food when I knew that there was a better way. And I tasted the hope that this program brought me, and I ate myself, not only physically, but my life was such a chaotic mess. I am the drunk in the street with the brown paper bag. I relate to drunks. I am not an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic with food, and I relate to drunks like nothing, like, I just can't even begin to describe, because that is me. I am the cardboard box person on the street, honestly, 100%, when I'm in the food. And I ate myself into homeless shelters. I was in horrible relationships that I didn't even know was horrible, because, like, the big book says, like, our life becomes the only normal one, like, not just with the food, and I didn't know what a bad relationship was, because I never had a healthy one until I came in these rooms. Me and my daughter were in and out of homeless shelters when she was young, and I was such an angry person, you guys. Like, most people in these rooms don't know the angry woman that I used to be. One time, this man came up to me off the street, and he was like, this is like a guy at a bus stop that didn't know me whatsoever. And he was like, I'd hate to be married to you. You're, like, so full of anger. Because that is the aura that I put out in the universe. And I didn't even know that there was any other type of aura. When my daughter has been special needs, and because of this program, I can parent her today. She's an adult now, but Like I would do like silly things and have this amazing gift of a sense of humor that my higher power has given me throughout the years to get me through these situations because of this program. But before this program, years ago, I one time grabbed her and I was gonna like turn her on her stomach and spank her. I was so full of anger though that she slipped out of my hands. She threw and got flown into a wall and had to have her teeth pulled. And it was an accident, but it only happened because of my anger. And it was like this huge thing. Like someone found out, like the cops came to my job. Like it was like CPS was called. It was this huge thing. And that is the kind of life that I live when I am in these rooms. I don't know how to support myself. I get fired from jobs because I'm so busy eating. Nothing else matters. I make mistakes because I'm so high on the food. I got lost on the bus for hours one time because I was so blinded because the food really physically affects me. And I took the wrong bus and didn't even know it. That's the life that I live in these rooms. And the life that I live today is so very different. Today I can support myself. Today I get to eat moderately and enjoy my food. And I keep seeking this higher power that I'm not even sure I believe in. And it doesn't even matter because the big book tells me that the spiritual experience is in the seeking, and I don't even have to find whatever it is I'm trying to seek, but I keep seeking. And this program has just transformed my life. Besides physical, I'm maintaining a 240 pound weight loss. And I will tell you that that is one of the smallest gifts that this program has ever given me. I don't know if you guys can see this, but this is the picture of me at my top weight, which was well over 400 pounds. And I will tell you that that woman does not exist today, not even physically, but mentally, spiritually. I walk in a room today and I am a productive member of society. I can find a job. I can be trusted to work home, and I. 2 years, I have had my job now for 17 years, and 2 years I was employee of the year. Like, I'm not employee of anything of the year except for eater of the year, maybe. But other than that, like, all I do when I'm in the disease is watch TV and stay in bed with boxes, bags, and bars all around me. I don't have a life. I don't even know what life is without the food. And today, my life has been so transformed by this program that I can go anywhere, I can do anything. And was that a reminder or no? Okay.
Sorry, no, it was just
Oh,
written.
okay.
About
Okay. No problem.
5 minutes and then 5.
Okay, thank you. So I can do anything and go anywhere, and I learned that lack of power is my dilemma, and I had to find a power greater than myself to solve my problem. And that power works in my life every day, whether or not I see it, whether or not I feel it, it is there. And I just want to read a little bit before my time is up because the big book has transformed my life. The steps have transformed my life. I was in this awful relationship with this man who left me over and over and over again, and I allowed him to. And if there was anyone who it talks about in the big book, there might be someone who hurt us more than we hurt them. If there was anyone that that applied to, it'd be this person, right? And I made amends to this man face to face, direct amends, asked if there was anything I left out, was waiting for him to like give me this huge long list of things. And that was one of the most freeing things that ever happened to me. Before my mom died, I was able to make amends to her. I didn't really know how to make amends at that time, but it was enough. I have this beautiful experience of that. There's a story in the big book that I just want to share a little bit about my life right now. Oh, there's a story in the big book on page 450. He lived only to drink, and it says, I realized I had to separate my sobriety from everything else that was going on in my life. No matter what happened or didn't happen, I couldn't drink. In fact, none of these things that I was going through had anything to do with sobriety. The tides of life flow endlessly for better or worse, both good and bad, and I cannot allow my sobriety to become dependent on these ups and downs of living. Sobriety must take off a life of its own. And I just want to say that I have relapsed over anything you could imagine. I always say, I could relapse from a broken shoelace, right? So I shared that at a meeting one time, and someone actually called me and told me she had relapsed from a broken shoelace. And today I know that my life and my food are completely separate. And I will tell you, this past year has been the most horrendous year of my life. And there's just so, like, I don't even know how to describe what's been going on in the last year, in this little bit of time that I have left. But it started with back in April, me and my partner, by the way, I have a partner in OA, been together almost 15 years, love of my life. And I know how to be in a relationship today because of these rooms. And in April, me and her went to meet a friend, and we went to meet a friend in Arizona. And on the way back, I love animals. I have like a ton, I have 20 million cats, and I had a dog. And on our way back, we found out that our dog died. And we found out later that there was like dog bite marks all over her. So somehow, even though the lady we left her with swears she was never with any dogs, she was basically killed on the way back. And 4 years, 4 days later, my partner of almost 15 years went into like fell a few times. We took her to the ER, and she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And she almost died that night, and they saved her, but she was incapacitated. And thank you.
Yes, 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. And for a couple months, I watched her in the hospital to deteriorate, and within like just 24-hour period, everything I knew was gone. And I will tell you that I knew in my heart that I needed to do anything I can to keep my recovery, and she was my best friend, and she died on July 3rd. She died, and I was at the Region 2 convention that weekend, and I threw myself into this program because I knew there was no other way for me to survive this, you know. I didn't want to wait until I wanted to eat, you know, because then it's too late. So I threw myself. I even had a fairly new sponsee at the time, and I told her, I said, I can't give you what you need right now, and I think that you should find a different sponsor. And she was like, no, she wouldn't leave. You know, she was like, no, I feel a connection, and I'm willing to take whatever you're willing to give me, how little or how much. And so we worked together, and we're still working together today. And my sponsees have saved my life. After when COVID happened, I ended up finding a home group that was based out of Georgia. My sponsor flew out from Georgia to go to that convention with me and stayed with me for 4 days. Another friend from Georgia flew out to stay with me. And at that convention, I walked up to the podium and I shared everywhere I could. And I will tell you that you guys just surrounded me with love, and just carried me and carried me and carried me. And people did a GoFundMe, and I used to also be treasurer for that meeting, and I just started randomly getting money in my Venmo account. And because of that, I was able to spend, you know, take off some time for work and spend the last days with my partner before she passed away and be at the hospital with her. And you guys helped me pay my rent and pay my bills, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. And I will tell you, and also in the midst of this, immediately money, you know, over $2,000 was gone. California is insane. I cannot afford it. And there was this job opportunity in Texas, and I decided to relocate with my job because I didn't know what else to do. And so that's why I'm in Texas now. And you guys just carried me. And you know, I bought a house out here. Someone like me does not know how to pay their rent. I do not buy houses. And I will tell you real quick too that I kept finding, like, I don't have any money, by the way, you guys. I have like no money, no savings, no nothing, right? And I'm trying to buy this house. And the reason I want to buy this house is because I have all these cats that no one wants. And I'm like, I need some place for my cats. And I kept getting turned down because I'm like trying to research these down payment programs. I kept getting turned down, kept getting turned down. I finally find this list somewhere, and I just looked down, there's this lady's name, and there's like hundreds of names, and this lady's name, Angel. And I'm like, this is gonna be my angel. And this lady helped me get this house, and I paid almost nothing. I actually found this realtor. This is just an insane story. I found this realtor that actually paid for whatever down payment I needed and refused to take it back. And I have a house and I have a job, and I'm grieving my partner every day. And she was my best friend, and she was my program in recovery. So being at meetings was actually super, super painful. And I just want to read, I only have a minute left, but there's a story called Se from Seeking the Spiritual Path called How I Found Joy. And it says, the joy of living is the theme of AA's 12th step, and action is its key word. I once scoffed at the idea that life could be joyful even while I was absent and working the steps. I felt robbed when members with long-term absence talked about having peace and happiness. My disbelief was my misunderstanding of what joy means. In several years of being abstinent, yet emotionally miserable, I've always confused joy with happiness. I thought the goal of life was to be happy every day. I don't think that anymore. To me, joy is a river, a perpetually flowing undercurrent in my life. I know I'm done. I'm just going to finish this real quick. It is peace, serenity, trust, and faith that flows so deeply inside me that I sometimes forget it's there. Happiness is a spring that occasionally bursts forth from the river. It is fleeting, temporary, and spontaneous. Wonderful when I can have it, but not necessary. Joy keeps me grounded and peaceful. And I don't have much happiness in life today, but this program gives me so much purpose, and it gives me so much joy. And when I doubt God, which is all the time, I felt there was honestly no logical reason why I'm abstinent today. I should be faced with food, and I am not. And I'm here with you all, and I'm feeling the grief every day, but I don't have to feel that in the food. And thank you so much for letting me share.